Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Growing up in Pine Ridge, Montana, dusty speck on the map where the Rockies meet endless fields of wheat and cattle, meant everyone knew your secrets before you did. The town ran on whispers over coffee at the diner and cold beers at the local bar after sundown. Population barely scraped 2,000, and if you sneezed wrong, it'd be front page news in the Weekly Gazette. My name's Emily, and back then, at 12 years old, I was the awkward kid with fizzy brown hair, hand-me-down clothes from my cousins, and a single mom who worked double shifts at the feed store to keep us afloat. My older sister, Lara, she was 15, and everything I wasn't. Confident, pretty, with straight A's and a spot on the cheer squad. We shared a cramped trailer on the outskirts, just the three of us since Dad bailed when I was a toddler. Mom always said that he was chasing dreams in California, but the town gossips called it running from child support. Middle school hit like a freight train. Pine Ridge Middle was this squat brick building where all grades mixed in the mornings, waiting for the bell in a big common room. That's when the bullying started ramping up. Kids testing boundaries, forming cliques. And me? I was prime target material. I loved theater. Dorky stuff like reciting Shakespeare monologues to myself in the mirror, and I dressed in thrifted band tees and baggy jeans. The Rossi sisters, Gina and Sophia, decided I was their personal punching bag.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Gina was 14, all sharp elbows, and Sophia, 12 like me, followed her lead with this smug little grin. They were Italian-American from a family that owned the only pizza joint in town. Everyone knew them. Their dad was on the town council, always bragging about his authentic recipes from the old country. It started small. Whispers in the hallway.
Emily's hair looks like she stuck her finger in a socket.
Or louder in the lunch line.
Hey, thrift store queen, did your mom find that shirt in the dumpster?
I'd ignore it at first, but it escalated. One day, in gym class, Gina leaned over during dodgeball and said, "At least we know who our dad is. Yours probably ditched, because you're such a freak." Sophia snickered, tossing a ball that smacked me right in the gut. I went home that afternoon, tears streaming, and burst into our trailer where Lara was sprawled out on the couch, flipping through a magazine.
"Lara, those Rossi did it again,"
I sobbed, flopping down beside her.
"Gina called me poor trash, and Sophia said I don't even know my dad. Everyone laughed."
Lara rolled her eyes, tossing the magazine aside.
Ignore them. They're just jealous because you're smarter than both of them combined. Gina's got that unibrow thing going on. And Sophia? Please. She's built like a twig. Beneath us, sis. Total losers.
"But it hurts. Why do they hate me so much?"
"Because they're bored in this sh-hole town," she said, ruffling my hair. "Small minds, big mouths. Mom always says gossip's the devil's radio here."
I nodded. But it didn't stop. The next week, it got worse. We were in the common area before first bell, me and Lara walking in together like usual. The Rossi sisters were huddled with their friends by the vending machines. Gina spotted us first.
"Hey, Frizzhead,"
she called out loud enough for half the room to hear. "Did you even brush that mess today?
Looks like a bird's nest exploded."
Sophia chimed in. "Yeah, and those jeans? Hand-me-downs from the 80s? Mom's too busy hooking up to buy you new ones?" The room went quiet, kids staring. My face burned, but Laura stopped dead, turning on them with a scoff. "Oh, please, like you two have room to talk. At least Emily doesn't look like she escaped from the zoo." Gina's eyes narrowed. "What the hell does that mean?" Laura smirked. "It means that if you shaved your arms, you'd lose half your body weight. Orangutan much?" The sisters went red. Gina especially, because, yeah, they had that thick, dark hair on their arms and backs from their Italian side. Kids around us giggled, and Sophia muttered, "At least our mom's not a like yours." That hit Laura hard. She stepped closer, voice low but deadly. "Say that again, monkey girl. I dare you." They backed off. But as we walked away, Laura whispered to me, "The best revenge is the kind that they never see coming. Or no, it's you." We huddled in the bathroom during lunch, plotting. "They hit Mom, we hit back at theirs," Laura said, leaning against the sink. "Something juicy. Like Sophia's dad isn't really her dad." I giggled nervously. "What? Like who, then?" "The mailman," she said with a wicked grin. "We'll say their mom had an affair with him." My eyes widened. "That's mean. But they deserve it." "Exactly." Laura nodded. "We'll drop it casual-like, in conversations. Oh, did you hear about Sophia? Oh, poor thing. Her dad's the mailman. Act sympathetic. It's no big deal. Families are complicated." We started that afternoon. In study hall, I leaned over to my friend Katie. "Hey, you know Sophia Rossi? Oh, I feel bad for her. Heard her real dad's the mailman. But whatever, my sister and I have different dads too. Not anyone's business." Katie's eyes lit up. "No way! Where'd you hear that?"
Just around," I shrugged. "People talk."
Laura did the same in her classes. By the end of the week, we had sprinkled it to maybe 5 or 6 kids.
"It's so sad," she'd say in the locker room. "Sophia's mom and the mailman? But hey, love's messy. Don't judge."
We kept it up for a couple of weeks, giggling about it at night in our shared room. "Think they're hearing it yet?" I'd ask.
"Probably,"
Laura whispered, "but they'll never trace it to us." And then we got bored. Middle school drama shifted. New crushes, new fights. We forgot. The bullying tapered off. Maybe the sisters found new targets. Or maybe the rumor boomeranged on them. Life moved on. High school came. Laura graduated and moved to Billings for college, studying nursing. I stuck around. Got a job at the diner after graduation. Met my boyfriend, Jake, at a rodeo. We settled in a little house on the edge of town. Him working construction, me waitressing. Mom passed from cancer when I was 25, leaving just me and Laura, who visited on holidays with her husband and kids. Fast forward to last summer. I'm 31 now. Laura, 34. Jake and I were barbecuing with his buddy Mark, this grizzled guy in his 40s who'd grown up in Pine Ridge but moved away for work. Turns out, Mark was the much older brother of the Rossi sisters. Half-brother, actually, from their dad's first marriage. We were on the back porch, beers in hand, stars popping out overhead. Conversation turned to family drama, as it does after a few drinks. "You wouldn't believe the my family's been through. Back when Gina and Sophia were kids, Soph was like 12, there was this huge blow-up."
Jake laughed. What? Someone steal pizza dough from the shop? Mark shook his head. Nah, worse. Rumors started flying that Sophia wasn't Dad's kid. That Mom had screwed around with Uncle Tony, the mailman, for Christ's sake. I nearly choked on my beer. Jake patted my back. You okay, Em?
Yeah, it's just went down wrong, I muttered, heart pounding.
Laura and I had never told a soul. Mark continued. Town went nuts. Gossips at the bar, church ladies whispering, said Mom and Tony had this affair and Soph was the proof. Dad lost it, demanded a paternity test. Cost a fortune back then, but he did it. Turns out, she's his, no doubt. But the damage? Uncle Tony and Dad didn't speak for years. Mom cried for weeks, swearing it was b***h. Almost divorced over it. Jesus, where'd the rumor even start?
Mark shrugged. Small town, s*** spreads like wildfire. Gina said it started at school, some petty crap. But it wrecked holidays for a decade. Uncle Tony's still bitter. Thinks Dad accused him without cause.
I sat there, listening. Laura and I, two dumb kids with a grudge, had nearly blown up a family. The Rossies.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Gina married some guy in Bozeman. Sophia moved to Seattle. Had kids of their own. Their mom passed a few years back, heart attack. Did she die knowing the town thought she was a cheer? That night, after Mark left, I called Laura. It was late, but she picked up. Em, everything okay?
You remember the Rossi sisters?
I whispered, Jake snoring beside me. A pause. Yeah? Why?
I just found out. From their brother. The rumor. It went everywhere. Paternity test. Family fights. Almost broke them up.
Laura sucked in a breath.
Holy s***. We were kids, Em. Stupid revenge. But we did that. We almost destroyed them.
We didn't know about Uncle Tony. It was a lucky shot, or unlucky.
But think about it. They bullied you nonstop. Called Mom bad words.
Karma's a b-. I laughed weakly.
Yeah, but 20 years later? We're adults now. Still, don't beat yourself up.
Small towns chew people up. We survived.
Hey fam, Mr. Broccoli this side. Do subscribe and hit the like button if you're enjoying this video.
I was home alone in our little suburb outside Chicago, puttering around the kitchen making a cup of tea. My boyfriend, Tom, was at work. He's a mechanic, always covered in grease, and the kids were at school. At 31, I'd finally gotten to a place where life felt steady. A decent job as a nurse, a house we'd scraped together to buy 5 years ago, and neighbors who mostly kept to themselves. Well, except for the ones next door. Emma and her boyfriend, Mike, had moved in about a year earlier, and something about them always rubbed me the wrong way. Cars pulling up at all hours, people dashing in and out in under 5 minutes. We whispered about it over fences. Stolen goods, maybe? Fenced electronics or knockoff designer stuff. It was big in the area, with online marketplaces flooding with cheap fakes from overseas. But locals like Mike were undercutting the big players by hawking it door to door or through shady apps. Whatever it was, it screamed trouble. But I minded my own business.
until that knock on the back door. I glanced at the clock, around 2 p.m., and figured it was the utility guy. Our meter was out back, and they had called the week before about a reading. Without thinking twice, I swung the door open, tea mug still in hand. But it wasn't some guy in a hard hat. Two massive men stood there, leather vests. One was bald with a thick beard, tattoos snaking up his neck like vines. The other had stringy hair under a bandana, eyes cold as steel. Before I could even say, "Who the hell are you?" the bearded one shoved past me, his hand like a vice on my arm.
"Get inside, Emma," he growled, slamming the door behind them.
My heart slammed into my ribs. Emma? That was the neighbor's name. I tried to pull away, but the stringy-haired one grabbed me from behind.
"Don't you dare move, woman," he snarled.
They hurled me against the wall in the hallway, my shoulder hitting first with a crack that sent pain shooting down my arm. The tea mug shattered on the floor, hot liquid splashing my legs. I gasped, trying to catch my breath, but they didn't even give me a second. The bearded man yanked me by the hair and threw me onto the couch in the living room. I landed hard, the cushion swallowing me as he pinned me down with his knee on my chest. His weight crushed the air out of me. I couldn't scream, couldn't think.
"You're gonna listen real good. Your boy Mike's been selling too much of that knockoff shit. Fake phones, watches, bags, cutting into our territory. We've got the market locked down from here to Milwaukee, and he's pissing on it. You tell him the beasts are done playing nice."
I wheezed, shaking my head.
I'm not Emma. You've got the wrong house. Please, please let me up."
"Shut your mouth,"
the stringy-haired one barked. He started ripping open drawers, tossing papers and remotes everywhere.
"Where's the stash, b-? Mike said it's in the basement behind the furnace."
Basement? My mind raced. Emma's place was a ranch-style single floor with a basement. Ours was a back split. Four levels with stairs twisting everywhere. No simple basement here.
"This isn't her house. Look around. It's not the same layout. I'm Olivia. My mail's right there on the table. Please look. Just look."
The bearded guy eased off a bit, glancing at his partner.
"Check it out, Rocco."
Rocco, the stringy one, snatched up the envelope, a bill from the electric company addressed to Olivia. He squinted at it, and then at me, his face twisting in confusion.
Damn, man, this ain't Emma.
The knee lifted, and I sucked in air, curling up on the couch. My whole body shook, adrenaline flooding me like ice water. The bearded guy, who I later learned called himself Bear, stepped back, rubbing his beard.
"Oh, s***. Wrong door?"
Rocco tossed the mail aside and stormed through the house, boots thumping up the split-level stairs. I heard him cursing as he searched, opening closets, slamming doors. Bear kept his eyes on me, blocking the exit.
"You heard neighbor? The one next door?"
I nodded frantically, tears stinging my eyes.
"Yes, Emma lives there with Mike. I barely know them. Please, just go. I won't say anything, I swear."
"Won't say anything? Lady, you think we're amateurs?"
He leaned in closer. "Mike's been fencing that counterfeit crap all over town, undercutting our suppliers. We run the game, import the fakes from the docks, distribute to our crews. He's stealing customers with his cheap online b-. But now, we hear he's got bigger problems. Did nasty things to our cousin last month at a party. Little s**t thinks that he can hide behind a woman." I knew it was a lie. The party part, at least. Mike was sleazy, sure, but I'd never heard whispers like that.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too. Because where you get your information matters.
It was just an excuse, a way to justify their rage if the selling angle didn't stick. But I played along, anything to de-escalate.
I didn't know. That's awful. But I'm not involved. Please, my kids will be home soon. Just leave.
Rocco came thundering back down, empty-handed.
Nothing here. Wrong house, Bear. Let's bounce before she calls the cops.
Bear eyed me and then nodded. But instead of leaving, he grabbed my purse from the coffee table and dumped it out. Wallet, keys, phone, everything scattered. He pocketed the cash, about $200 I had withdrawn for groceries. Consider this a warning fee. Tell Emma and Mike to watch their backs. And you? Keep your mouth shut, Livia. We know where you live now. They finally left through the back door, the screen banging shut behind them. I sat there frozen for what felt like hours, but it was probably minutes. My hands trembled as I gathered my things, locking the door. Though, what good was that now? I called Tom first, sobbing into the phone.
Come home now, please!
He raced back, tires screeching into the driveway. When he burst in, I collapsed into his arms, recounting it all between gasps.
They thought I was Emma. Pinned me down. Searched everything. Took the money.
Tom's face went white, then red with fury.
Those bastards. We're calling the police.
No, Tom, this could be dangerous with the kids and all.
Thankfully, nothing much happened for the next few months. And eventually, Mike and Emma left the house forever. My girlfriend, Lena, and I had been dating for about a year, both of us in our mid-20s. We were two girls from the Midwest. We had saved up for this. A two-week escape across the Southwest. Backwoods camping and hiking every day. No hotels, no itineraries, just our Subaru, packed with a tent, freeze-dried meals. We blasted playlists of indie folk and talked about everything. Our dreams of moving to California, the shitty exes we'd left behind, how freeing it felt to be out here, just us against the world. We'd been on the road for a week already, zigzagging through Arizona's red rocks and Utah's canyons. Lena was the planner, always mapping out free campsites on apps like Overlander, while I handled the driving, my hands steady on the wheel even when the roads turned to gravel. It was late afternoon when we pulled into this dispersed campsite off of a lonely highway near the Gila National Forest. The sun was dipping low, painting the scrubby desert in oranges and purples. No signs, no fees, just a dirt pull-off leading into a maze of juniper trees and rocky clearings. We were the only ones there, which wasn't unusual. We'd gotten used to the solitude. Oh, this spot's perfect. Flat ground, killer view of the mountains. Let's set up before it gets dark. I nodded, grabbing the tent poles. Yeah. And no one's around to complain about our music. We cranked up some Fiona Apple. As we pitched the tent, I stole glances at Lena, her curly hair tied back, freckles popping from the sun. God, I loved her. Our relationship was still new enough to feel electric, but solid, like
We'd found our person in each other. By dusk, we had a fire going and were chopping veggies for burritos. That's when headlights pierced the twilight. A dusty pickup truck rolled past our site, heading deeper into the grounds. We waved casually. Campers do that out here, but they didn't stop. Neighbors? Lena asked, raising an eyebrow. Maybe. We're just scoping it out. 20 minutes later, the truck came back, slowing to a stop near us. A young couple got out. A guy in his 30s with a scruffy beard, and a girl about our age, blonde and wide-eyed. She approached me while he hung back by the truck. Hey, she said, her voice a little shaky. Have you guys been back there? No. We just got here. Why? She glanced over her shoulder, like something might be following her. It's like a massacre back there. My stomach flipped. What do you mean? There's bones everywhere, like animal parts scattered all over. You mind if we take the spot next to you? Safety in numbers, right? I forced a smile, trying to play it cool. Not at all. Go for it. They nodded thanks, and they pulled into the adjacent clearing. Lena sidled up to me. What was that about? I relayed the conversation, keeping my voice low. She said it's a massacre back there. Bones everywhere. Lena's eyes widened, but she laughed it off. probably just some dramatic city folk. Or maybe coyote kills. Come on, dinner's ready. We sat by the fire, plates in hand. But as I shifted my foot, something crunched under my boot. I looked down. A massive bone, thick and weathered, half buried in the dirt. Holy sh! Lena, look at this! She leaned over. Is that a femur? Like from a cow or something? Has to be. But why here? We stared at it. The couple next door? They unpacked for maybe 2 minutes, threw down a tent bag, looked around, and then hopped back in their truck and peeled out, dust kicking up behind them. Lena frowned. They're leaving? After all that? Yeah, weird as hell. Want to go check it out? I asked. She hesitated, then grinned. F*** it. Let's see what the fuss is about. We grabbed flashlights and headed back along the winding path, the desert night closing in. Crickets chirped, but otherwise it was dead quiet. About 100 yards in, the smell hit us first. Rotting meat, metallic and sour. Then our beams caught it. Carcasses everywhere. Scattered ribs, skulls picked clean, hides matted with fur. Nearby, a deer body stuffed in a black trash bag, bloated and leaking. Flies buzzed even in the dark.
Oh my god,
Lena whispered, covering her mouth.
This is f***ed up.
I shone my light farther. More bones. Some fresh, with tissue clinging. Others sun-bleached. Hunters? Poachers? Or roadkill dump? But look at that one. Tire marks on the hide. But logic didn't ease the creep factor. The place felt wrong. Like a graveyard we'd stumbled into. If this is where they toss dead animals, I said, then predators know it. Coyotes? Bears, maybe. I don't want to be here when they show up for a snack. Lena nodded, her face pale in the flashlight glow. Me neither. Let's get the hell out. We hustled back to our site, hearts pounding. Packing up was frantic, stuffing gear into bags, dousing the fire. You think that couple saw this and bailed? Lena asked as we collapsed the tent. Definitely. Smart move. I paused, glancing around the shadows. What if it's not just animals? What if someone's using this spot for worse? She shot me a look. Don't even. We're leaving now. The drive out was tense. Highway stretching into blackness. We found a Walmart parking lot an hour away. Crashed in the car with doors locked. Over the next few days, as we hit more trails and camps, we pieced it together. Yeah, probably a roadkill disposal site. Common in rural areas. Now, we check reviews twice and keep a knife handy. Because out there, in the middle of nowhere, you never know what's buried just out of sight. For 3 months, my brother Jim was in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He'd been accused of murdering his college roommate, and even though the police didn't have any hard evidence against him, he was their only suspect. Jim swore to us that he'd seen a blonde man running from his dorms on the night of the murder, but he couldn't identify who it was. My family and I did everything we could to clear his name, but we didn't have a lot of information to use.
Eventually, we were able to track down the security footage from an office across the street that showed a blonde man, just like Jim had described, running away from the dorms. With the new evidence, the courts were forced to let him go. It was amazing news. On the day of his release, I wanted to plan a huge welcome home party. I didn't invite most of his friends because they'd all turned their backs on him when they thought he was a murderer. Instead, we had a couple of his high school buddies and all of our family. I ordered a bunch of pepperoni pizzas because I knew that was Jim's favorite food. Mom picked him up from prison and drove him back. When he arrived, we all jumped out and said, "Surprise!" He instantly started crying. Even though he'd only been behind bars for a couple of months, he looked like a completely different person. He'd lost a lot of weight, and his skin was extremely pale. He walked right up to me and gave me a huge hug. I could feel how bony he'd gotten since the last time we hugged. "Thank you," he whispered. After that, the party went really well. Jim slowly turned back into his old self. He even joked around and told us some crazy stories about his time in prison. And then the doorbell rang. I jumped up to answer it, but Jim stopped me. "Let me get it," he said. I handed him some cash, and then he walked toward the door. When he opened the door, a blonde delivery guy was standing on the porch with three pizza boxes in his arms. Jim's back was to me, so I couldn't see his expression. But I saw the look on the delivery guy's face. He seemed horrified. The guy instantly dropped the pizzas and ran away. Jim turned back toward us. "That's him! That's the real murderer!" Mom grabbed her phone to call 911. Jim looked at us once more, and then raced out of the house. "Wait!" I screamed. "That blonde man was a killer, and it wasn't safe for Jim to face him alone." He didn't stop, so I ran off too. I couldn't lose my brother again. I saw Jim halfway down the street. He was running ridiculously fast. I struggled to catch up. My heart was pounding. I couldn't see the delivery guy, but I guess Jim could. He changed directions, heading into the park, and I kept following. By the time I caught up, I saw Jim standing in the middle of the park. The delivery guy was facing him, looking terrified. "Don't hurt me," the man said. "You killed my roommate and blamed me. Why shouldn't I kill you? Stop!" I shouted. Both men turned toward me. "Stay out of this," Jim said. His eyes were narrowed. He wanted revenge. The man fumbled with his tiny backpack. He pulled out a pistol and pointed it right at Jim. "Don't move or I'll shoot!" Jim stepped closer. He wasn't afraid of the gun at all. "You wouldn't." "Why would he say that? He already knew that the guy was a murderer." But the man was shaking so badly that he could barely aim the gun. "Please, I didn't tell anyone what I saw. Don't..." "Put the gun down," Jim shouted. The blonde man whimpered. He looked so scared, but he still cocked the gun. Jim charged toward him. Before the man could fire, Jim grabbed his hands and twisted. The gun flew through the air and landed in the dirt. I rushed over and grabbed the gun while Jim wrestled the man to the ground. I'd never used a gun before and felt terrible in my hands. I hated it. Jim punched the man hard. Then he held him down. The man tried to twist away, but Jim wouldn't let go. "Shoot him!" Jim yelled at me. "No!" the man said. "Please! Shoot him now!" Jim looked at me. And as he said that, it gave the blonde man the opportunity to wriggle out of his grip. He shoved Jim backward and then punched him in the stomach. I couldn't let him hurt my brother. Without thinking, I fired the gun. A huge bang shot through the air. Then the blonde man fell backwards onto the ground, dead. Jim slowly stood back up and walked toward me. "You did the right thing," he said. I dropped the gun. It took a few seconds for reality to finally sink in. I'd killed somebody.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
I'd protected my brother. It was all in self-defense, but I'd actually shot somebody. He wrapped me in another hug. I pulled away. What did he mean when he said that he didn't tell anyone what he saw? Jim took a deep breath. You really want to know?
Yes.
Okay, fine. This was Max. He witnessed the murder and ran off. He was too afraid to come forward, and it looks like he bought a gun for protection.
So he didn't kill your roommate?
I asked. Nope, I did.
I've always been guilty.
I was worried he'd go to the police, but he can't now, thanks to you.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I know you won't say anything. If you go along with my story, then you'll be a hero for stopping him. But if you tell the truth, well, then that makes you a murderer too. Police will probably be here soon, so you have some time to think of what you'll say. Answer seems pretty obvious, though. When the police came, I let Jim do all the talking. He told them that he'd recognized Max as the murderer. He said that Max attacked him again, and I swooped in as a hero. When the police asked me if I had anything to add, I told them no. So that's how my brother got away with murder, and how he roped me into it as well. I'm telling you this story because I need to get this off my chest. I'll never be brave enough to tell this to the police.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.